Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettina, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Colin Davis Kelly, who is a student at East Hampton High School. The reason that he's my guest today is that he is involving himself in something that is of great interest to me, which is the history of the area. Can you tell us just what this is all about?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Dan. So I have been working with the East Hampton Historical Society to create a podcast for America's 250th anniversary about the monthly happenings in East Hampton during 1776. So each month we release like about a 3-minute episode just talking about what happened during that month of 1776.
Have you done any so far to get started?
Yeah, so we release an episode each month. So we release one for January at the beginning of January. And then the one for February is also out. And then March will be coming out in, you know, the next couple of weeks.
Well, before we get to the meat of that, where could people find it?
So on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can look up Spirit of 76, East Hampton Historical Society, and it should come up. You can also just Google that and it should pop up.
I think I read somewhere that you're finding things that people haven't found before or got wrong.
So the January episode was just kind of an episode to fill people in on what had been going on in 1774 and 1775, so leading up. And so we talked about how East Hampton had actually declared an embargo on British goods before New York State had done that. So we learned that. And then February, we talked about how that embargo caused financial stress in East Hampton, but East Hampton was still willing to go along with that embargo because they didn't want Britain to have access to the valuable resources that we had here.
What were some of the resources that they wanted that you're going to be getting?
So there was a lot of cattle. I found records of a man named Thomas Wickham who lived in East Hampton, and he was writing to the town government. He was worried about cattle in Montauk and was worried about protection. He was asking for protection and whether the town was able to provide like any force to combat the British army if they came to East Hampton to take the cattle.
They would normally, during wartime, they could take cattle. And what was the place where they would embark from?
Well, obviously, East Hampton is just one long coastline. So there would be a bunch of local men just right along the shore, along the coastline, just looking for British ships. So anywhere really along the beach was a place where the British could potentially land.
Wasn't Sag Harbor important at that point?
Yeah, Sag Harbor was important. It was obviously along the ocean, so it was a protected area where it might be easier to embark. Yeah,
I think they had put up a wharf in 1710.
Yeah, I believe that is right.
When you mention cattle, are you talking about sides of beef or actual cattle and putting them on the ships?
No, I think like just used for, you know, milk or beef, yeah.
What else was in the embargo, you know?
It was just all goods. So East Hampton wasn't trading any goods with the British.
So was the embargo meaningless then?
No, like before the embargo was put in place, the British was providing great business to the people of East Hampton. After the embargo was put in place, there's financial struggle here because the British was no longer available for trade.
And the trade would take place in Sag Harbor at the customs house?
Sag Harbor, and then there are places all, you know, throughout East Hampton town.
Was Northwest, was there was a wharf there also, and a little village.
I haven't heard about that in my research, but we've only done 2 months, so that might pop up later on.
It's kind of a surprise because the common belief is that when the war began, the East Enders were pretty much loyalists. That's what most people think.
Right.
It's what they knew, and they didn't have any social or, you know, grievances like that.
Right.
It changed their mind.
I think, you know, they actually started off in early 1776 just against the British. And then after the Battle of Long Island, the British won and then took control of all of Long Island and into Brooklyn. Then they started to realize that they kind of switched sides and went back to the British.
And what happened to the rebels? I think a lot of them went to Connecticut. How did they get there?
Some went to Connecticut, yep. So they would take a boat across the Sound. Others were kind of banished. They got their weapons taken away from them, and they were kind of, yeah, put aside and not really integrated into society anymore.
Was this the topic of the first two, or was the second one different?
The first one is kind of just a lot of everything because it's just a summary of 1774 and 75. The second episode is more kind of more focused because it's just talking about February of 76.
Wow. You'll be able to do one. You could do a whole year's worth if you're careful.
Yeah, so we'll be releasing one each month of this year.
Where do you hold them? I mean, people will be calling and do you do it by Zoom?
So we record with the East Hampton Historical Society at the East Hampton Library. There's a recording studio in the library, so we do it there.
What got you interested in this?
Well, history has always been my favorite subject in school, and I feel like East Hampton is such a place with such rich history. And in school, we learn about what happened throughout the nation, but we don't really learn on, you know, what's going on, what happened in our community. I know how rich this place is with history, so I wanted to focus on our actual community.
What are some of the highlights that got you interested?
Well, in my research, I had learned about a man named Reverend Samuel Buell, and that name rang a bell because there's a street in East Hampton named Buell Lane. So in my research, I was able to kind of make connections with streets or buildings named after people that I then encountered in my research.
He was from Connecticut, I think, and he was a preacher.
Yeah, he was a priest at the Presbyterian Church in East Hampton, and he created the Clinton Academy, which is still stands on Main Street and is now actually the headquarters of the Historical Society.
Talk about that school.
I haven't done a lot of research on this, but I believe it was to teach Native Americans, and I think it was a religious school as well.
Was your mom and dad interested in history?
I've always loved to read, and my parents kind of instilled that in me, the love for reading. So I was always surrounded with a lot of books, and I was never a big fan of fiction novels. I was always into, you know, nonfiction history, American history. So I always had the access to those kind of things. And that's really where I got the interest in history.
Did you know Thomas Jefferson came out to Riverhead, I believe, and Madison, who wrote the Constitution, together after the war, and visit people up in Connecticut and Long Island? And in particular, Jefferson was very interested in translating the Indian language that was, I think it's the Puspatuk tribe. They found that a lot of the Indians were there, but they were no longer speaking that language except one or two. He sat for 2 days with a woman in her abode and translated and wrote this all down. Do you know about this?
I haven't heard about that. No, I'll have to look into that. That sounds really interesting.
What happened was after they left, they went back to New York. And of course, you know, Jefferson was a Virginian plantation. So he took a boat from New York that was going to go to unload in the Chesapeake. And when he got to home on the dock at the Chesapeake, the papers were in a particular trunk, and he found them, the trunk couldn't be found. And so it was lost. And it seemed to be that turned out that one of the stevedores taking the luggage off the boat was looking for anything of value for himself.
Wow.
He opened this suitcase to find nothing of any great value in it. So kind of mad about it, he threw it overboard. And when Jefferson got home, he wrote a letter to the shipping company and also to the government there where this happened, demanding that this person be shot. He never wrote a second letter, and he didn't follow up on it, and the man never got. That's how mad he was. Interesting. Interesting story.
Yeah.
You also can learn a lot about this area called Northwest in East Hampton. Have you ever been up there?
Yeah.
You've seen the ruins.
I haven't seen it, no.
There's a mill, and there was a schoolhouse, and they had a dock, which is no longer there. So they were trading with Europe, and when the wharf got built in Sag Harbor, this became redundant, and they really shut it all down.
Yeah.
That's what happened. What's your third episode going to be about?
So, third episode is going to be about the happenings in 1776 in March. So, it's when British ships really started appearing along the coast. So, the town got together a group of local people, like fishermen, etc., and they would line up along the coast and just watch for British ships and sound the alarm if they saw any.
Well, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school earlier in public school?
So I went to Springs Middle School. That was during COVID. And then before that, we lived in the city. So I went to school in Brooklyn.
Did your family move out here full time?
We had always gone out here on the weekends. And my dad grew up in Amagansett. So
you're quite a remarkable young man to be doing this.
thank you. I really enjoy it. Love history. So it's great. Great opportunity.
Well, thanks for being on the podcast. Is there something you'd like to ask or add to it that I haven't asked?
I would ask people to just tune in and look up Spirit of 76 from the East Hampton Historical Society, wherever you get your podcasts, and have a listen.
Thank you, Nolan Davis Kelly.
Thank you, Dan.
Good luck with this project. I'm going to go look at it.
Thank you.